Hello, Anchor. Hello, everyone. This is Anna Guerra, your host, and welcome to my daily podcast. I'm here today with a very special guest. I told you guys yesterday, I bring you José Rodríguez from For All Phones. He's going to talk to us about his startup. He's selling secondhand phones and other accessories on an online store. So, José, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much. And to talk about For All Phones, the company that I started probably 1.5 years ago. So basically, we sell used smartphones, accessories, and we also do repairs. So basically, what we wanted to do was to bring premium technology at affordable prices. So when I was 16 years old, I wanted to buy my first iPhone. At that time, it was the iPhone 4S. And so I asked my parents for the money to buy it. And they just told me straight away that 500 euros was too much for a 16-year-old to spend on a phone. So I started to look for other opportunities for me to buy an iPhone, and I went to OLX, which is like a platform where you can sell your stuff, and I found an iPhone cheaper. I bought it, I used it for like 2 months, and then I sold it for like maybe 50 euros of profit, which was okay at the time. So I just started buying more and more, and I bought from my sisters and my family and friends, and maybe 6 months later it started like to I started to have like a big pile of phones in my table, my bedroom. So then it just started a business. I created a Facebook page for All Phones. I had zero likes, so I didn't know how I was going to start selling, but the cool thing was that I already sold like I don't know, maybe 20 phones at that time. So I used those first 20 customers to give me feedback, to write reviews about the product, about the process of buying from me. And those reviews were pretty good. So I started with zero likes, okay, but 20 good reviews. So that was a big boost to the business. And that's how it started.
Well, José, you already gave us the entire pitch and the entire story.
I'm sorry. <yeah.
laughs> No, it's awesome, because usually people just say hi and then they're super shy, you know, they don't say much, but you said a lot. But first, let's start with yourself. So how old are you now?
I'm 21.
21. So you're 1 year younger than me. Right. And you're not from Lisbon, but you're from close, right?
Actually, I'm from Fatima, which is a very famous religious town.
You played in Leiria, right?
Yeah.
In football. Yeah, I remember that, because I'm not from Leiria, I'm from Batalha, but a lot of my childhood happened in Leiria, so I do remember that.
Yeah. Basically, I played football for 12 years, mm-hmm. and I played in the first National Youth League. So basically, during 12 years, I was playing against the best footballers of my age. Some of them are right now playing in the best clubs in the world, like Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, like Gonçalo Guedes, I played against him, or Gelson Martins from Sporting. So that gave me a lot of strength to work, to improve myself, my skills, and to have a good leadership spirit. And I think that also helped me in the business, maintaining my efforts and maintaining my focus on my goals.
So how was jumping from where you are living to here? Did you move when you started the bachelor's, or was it before? How did it happen?
No, yeah, I moved to Lisbon when I started a bachelor's, but my company had already started in Ouro, in a small office. So basically, I hired the first employee, and in the first year, we were just in a small space in Ouro, which is like Fatima, a town very close to Fatima. And we sold 350. 1,000 euros in the first year in business, so that was very good to prove that we had something to go for. And then in the second year of the company, I decided to try to look for people to hire to bring to the company, and I found a lot of people in the best universities of Lisbon and Portugal, and that is what's happening right now.
He's basically the headhunter. He's finding all the cool people around here in Lisbon, the best students, best entrepreneurs, and everything. And he's been getting them into the company. You've been doing a great job. I can see that because a lot of the people that you were able to hire are people that I know and that I respect and everything. So congrats to you. And I
That's
think
great.
obviously it's giving results and it's working out very, very well for you.
Definitely.
But so you chose Ishte, and Ishte was your first option, right?
Only Ana Guerra is missing, but we're still working on that.
Yeah, that's
So
why he's here. He's
yeah,
like,
that's why.
keep the friendship up until my internship
That's true,
is over.
that's true, but that's not, let's not talk about that right now. No, but you're a excellent professional, so let's see.
But yeah, we were talking about Ishte. Ishte was your first option, right?
Yeah, Ishte was my first option.
And it did not disappoint. Everyone that I've been bringing here, except, okay, I only brought two guests, but me, João Ramadas, and now you are all from Ishte, you
Yeah.
know?
So yeah, I had to choose between Ishqte or Católica Lisbon, which is another very well-known university across the world. But I really had the feeling that Ishqte was a more entrepreneurial university, and that I was able to get to know more intelligent and hardworking people at Ishqte. So I went for
Yeah.
Ishqte, and that was a pretty good choice.
And how has it been, easy or hard managing, you know, university and, you know, being the CEO of a startup with already so many people under your wing and leading this whole project that requires more and more of you every day, I guess, because it's a business that is definitely growing. How has that been?
Yeah, it's true. It has been kind of difficult to manage both things. Also because I am realizing that every hour that I add to the business, every hour that I am thinking about how can I grow the business, has a very big impact. So sometimes it's difficult for me to choose between going from Ishqte for a lesson or to my company, and most of the times I prefer to go to the company. But the important part here is that I totally know that my academic background is essential for my success in the company. So I'm always trying to improve that, to learn new things, to read as many books as I can, taking online courses, going to summer schools like I did last summer to ESAD in Barcelona. So obviously I'm trying to get both things, and let's see how it goes.
And have teachers been supportive? What do professors think about you being an entrepreneur? Do they say like, "Oh, concentrate on this, you're doing the bachelor's," or are they super excited about what you're doing? Do they just don't care? What has been the response?
I don't know a lot of professors at Ishkte. No, I'm kidding. I got to know like two or three that I like the way they teach in the lessons. So I tried to talk with them and to explain my business and what I was doing, and they were very supportive. So they tried to help me with their expertise on some fields that I am still trying to understand better. And actually also the dean, the Ishkte dean, Professor José Paulo Esperança, he was very supportive in every way. So I must say that Ishkte is a very good place for a startup.
Yeah, it is indeed entrepreneurial,
sure.
I would say.
They actually gave me like a room, like a
oh,
room
yeah,
in
right.
Ishkte
yeah,
for
yeah.
me to work. So basically I was like hiring people from Deloitte, from Uniplaces, from Fox, and I was asking them to come to Ishkte and to work like in a small office. And
exactly.
Sometimes, yeah, we had it, but sometimes there was like a, I don't know, like an event occurring on Ishkte, so we needed to leave to get all our things, like the computer, the notebooks.
Yeah, because officially it wasn't
yeah.
like your
so
place.
So it was like, we were like a startup, we were working a lot, but we needed to move all our stuff like twice a day.
Yeah.
So it was like
a
funny,
mess.
But a mess, yeah.
Yeah, but to me this is a pretty big deal because I was part of NAMI, and I've told some of my listeners here, NAMI is the Students Association for Marketing, like Students Union with Marketing. And we never had a room, and we do like pretty big stuff, including for marketing journeys. We have to contact like a bunch of speakers, and they're also from Fox, from Red Bull, from Coca-Cola. And we're like in the hallways waiting for someone to shut up to call these big companies, you know. So I'm really glad that you got that room. We were there for like a few days, but it was never like officially our room either. But yeah, I do remember that room. And now that I've been doing this this podcast, I can really see how important it is to have your own space, you know, because if you want to invite someone, you can't just, oh, sure, let's go to a coffee shop and do an interview,
definitely.
You know. It's not something that easy, especially, you know, when you're dealing with really big companies and you want their support and everything. And yeah.
And when you want to hire like older people, that's
yeah.
like the thing that's happening right now in my company. So since I'm 21, of course, it's not that age matters that much, but it's true that
mm-hmm.
with age it comes a lot of knowledge of certain things. So I'm starting to hire older people, like 28, 29,
really?
30 years
mm-hmm.
old. And that has been a challenge. So obviously bringing that people to Ishkte was hard. But I think in the end, it was something to prove that we were looking for something bigger. And those people that went to Ishkte and accepted the business, they also believed in me, in what I was doing. And so I really appreciate those guys.
Mm-hmm. Is the main reason why you're hiring older people, is it because really because of the knowledge, or is it also because you want to give an impression that you're not only like young people who are in university, there's also people who are older and who believe in you? I think it's because of that as well, right?
Yeah, that's true. That it's just the way things go. But
mm-hmm.
for example, since we sell used smartphones, accessories, of course we needed to add the repair service. So I always want to be and to work and to be friends with the best in their industries. So basically I hired the manager of the biggest network of repair shops in Portugal, so that you can see an example. They sold in the previous year 5 million euros, and I'm going for the second year of my company, so I'm pretty far from that company. So bringing that guy
into my
own company was a big challenge, but I think those people make the difference in my business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hope so. Has he joined already?
He has joined already. It's his second month and it has been amazing.
Because I remember when we talked, we were still like, oh yeah, he's coming, but I wasn't really sure. So he is officially
in the company working, and we have a lot of work, so everything has been great.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's something that I want to explore with you, because I think this is kind of a big thing about your business, is that you guys actually opened a physical store. So you started off as an online business only, kind of, and now you decide to open a store. Why did you decide to open the store?
Yeah, so the answer is pretty simple. So I do believe that e-commerce is the future. That's what I'm trying to build. So I'm trying to build a company based on the concept that e-commerce will be the next and almost only way to buy things online, right? But since we're not there yet, we will be in 10 years, and since my business is selling used smartphones, I knew that a lot of people wanted to see them in person, and even those people that couldn't see them or didn't actually really want to see them, they wanted to know that we had a physical store, so that they could think to themselves like, yeah, I'm buying online from Oporto, but if something happens, I can go to Lisbon.
They can complain.
Yeah, they can.
It's not only complaining on social media, on their websites. I can go there and
exactly.
Yeah.
So that, I think, was a strategic move for my company. Obviously, it was quite hard for me since we invested really a lot of money in the space. But in the end of the day, we don't only have a store there. We also have an office where we work. We have a kitchen. We have everything that we need there. So I can reunite the team. And it has been just amazing. Lisbon is just amazing also.
Yeah, I've been to your office, and I thought it was super awesome that you guys had like, it's kind of like a mini house, and I really enjoy the concept that you have the store, but you're super close, and you have an office right there with you, and you know, with the kitchen and everything, and it's not perfect, but it's totally you and your business and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And yeah, actually sometimes we stay working actually longer than we should, but and for example, we just work and then we go to the kitchen, we all eat something, we laugh a lot, and then we work again. That happened with your friend Jose Alves when he went there, and I think it's a good environment that we create there. It helps.
It helps. Yeah, I see what you mean, you know, that startup vibe. You might not have the ping pong table, but you know, you have something else that works for you, right?
We don't have space yet for that for the ping pong table, and unfortunately we do not have a dog yet also, because I love dogs, but
the office dog.
Yeah, I think we need to have those dreams. But we need to have a very clear understanding of the priorities.
Yeah.
So we need to keep our feet on the ground, and if we do that, we will grow in a solid way. And of course, in the future, we will have everything that we deserve. And in the end of the day, if my team is happy, my customers will be happier. So that's the way.
And I think nowadays it's so important to have like a sustainable business, because we've seen a lot of startups that start off really great and then everything goes crazy and everyone's investing and everything. Have you been receiving any VCs or anything? Are you getting any investment, or is it just from your own business money?
Yeah, so that is a very good question, because I do think that the problem of a lot of startups is that they get too much money and then they don't know how to spend it. And when they know how to spend it, most of the times it's not them that are spending the money. It's the venture capital guys that are like managing the whole company and saying everything they need to do. So in my company, we're using our own money, And that way, it's true that we're growing maybe a bit slower, but we have total control of the company, and we keep it our way. So obviously, in the future, we will need to have investment because we're opening more stores and we're going worldwide. But when we do, we will have a solid financial background, so we will have more power on the decision-making process.
Yep, sounds like a great plan. No, it's going to take a while, but you have... I think what's really amazing is that you have a very broad vision of what you want the company to be, and you know the exact steps, and you're not like just thinking, oh, someday... No, you know exactly what's going to happen in 1 year, what's going to happen in 2 years, 3 years. You have everything laid out, so I think that's really cool that you really have a vision, but you know the steps that take to get to that vision.
Definitely.
Now, I want to know some funny stories about building the store, because I know that you guys were a small team still, and you were doing most of the stuff yourselves, right? Like putting the lights, getting the tables and everything. So tell us a little bit about how that was.
Yeah, so basically when investors or stakeholders of the company ask us, like, why did sales in like June were so low? They were not low, they were low comparing to July, August, etc. It was because we were spending our time building the shop, like building the tables, like constructing everything, because we wanted to save money. So when they ask me about July, I always give them this answer, and they always stay quiet, because they knew we could have used the money to pay some company or some guys to do it. But we want to do it ourselves, to fill the company, to fill the hard work that is needed to build something. And yeah, June was a month with lower sales, but it really gave us strength and power to face the next month. And the next month was great, and then the next was greater, and that's the way we're going. But yeah, basically we wanted to save money, so we had a lot of things done by ourselves. Like, we didn't have like a designer in the team at that time. So we were like looking at the store like all white with nothing in, and we were thinking, what could we do to make this a cool spot, a cool place? And it was really hard working, but in the end, I think we have a nice store. We've been getting a lot of good reviews about the store, and we tried that each store is related to the city where it is based. So we have a big photo of Lisbon, of Rio Tejo and Ponte 25 de Abril with Cristo Rei, amazing view. And when we open in other cities, we want that those people from those cities, they enter the shop and they feel like, oh, we're home, and this is for me. And in the end, we created something cool. But one funny story very quickly. We had new walls, walls all around the store. And then one of the construction guys did something bad, not in the right way. So basically, after it was all done, he destroyed like half of the walls. And then I was not in Lisbon, so my partner called me saying, no, the shop is not opening next week because all the walls were just destructed. Destructed again. So it was like a hard to hear
and
that.
A nightmare as well. Yeah, I can imagine.
It was like a nightmare, but we did it in the end, so it just took us longer, but no worries.
But I thought it was funny that you were saying, not funny, but interesting, that you were saying that you wanted each store to feel like the city that they're in. Because, you know, a company that does that is Apple. If you check out their stores, I don't know if it was inspired by that, but all their stores, they're very integrated within the city that they have. The architecture, obviously, they have really big stores and they're super insane, probably the best spots for retailing ever. But still, like every place that they have, it's completely personalized and customized to the city that they're in. So I thought it was funny that you were saying how you wanted to accomplish something similar with each store. That
yeah, obviously we look at the best examples, but actually we didn't look a lot to Apple. I think we're creating something unique. Obviously, in Portugal, we're creating a national brand, and we want to create a global brand. That's what moves me. And that's what also moves my team, and that's why they are working at For All Phones and not in another project, because they see what we're going to do, and creating a global brand is just amazing. So we're going step by step.
And I'm wondering, how was building this brand? How, who came up with the name, and who then started doing the design and everything? How did that start? Because it's always a very interesting process and very different company to company. So
yeah, it's funny. So basically, For All, it's like a name that I think it's amazing, because for everyone, it's something that in this business we give the chance for everyone to buy a phone. So For All is something that I really like. And then phones. But I do have a lot of people that when I say For All Phones, they tell me like, wasn't it Phones For All? And not For All Phones? That's so strange. That, like, that's not correct, like in the grammatic way or something. But I always tell that we're creating first, we're creating For All. We're like For All Hub, a hub that constructs something for everyone, like a chance for everyone to do something, a chance for everyone to get the latest technology at a better price. And in the future, we can create other stuff, other business basing on this For All
concept.
Yeah. Exactly. So let's see what the future holds. Then the Facebook page I just created, I put the name For All Phones, and then I just had a phone on the profile picture. So when it started growing, I needed to go for a freelance designer, which was like a friend of mine that did something.
There's always a friend of someone who does the logo or something.
Always a friend. So that happened, and that was the first logo we had. We did a rebranding this year in March. So I'm very happy with the brand we have and the logo we have right now. So I'm really confident that this logo, this brand, will be the one that you will see in 5 years all across the globe.
What I want to say is that you were talking about the concept of For All. And I think it's very interesting that you see this not only as a business for phones, but you know, you already built For All watches as well, right? And you think of this as something that can be fit in all technologies. You really want to get people to the latest technology for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So can you tell us about anything else that's in the plans now of other technologies, or is it still very secret, or you don't know yet, or?
No, it's funny because if you Google or if you search on Facebook For All, probably it will appear to you like everything related to For All, like For All Home, For All Food, For All Watches, For All Cars, For All Everything. And all those pages were created by me.
So you already bought the domains for everything?
I didn't buy all the domains, but I bought some. So I do have a lot of ideas to build a lot of business based on this For All concept, because I really do believe that with the right team and with the know-how that we will accomplish with 5-10 years, let's see, we will be capable to reunite more talented people, and then we will work not only on my dreams but on the dreams of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think we really can create a really big brand, but right now I can't say much more, because actually there isn't much more, because I also found that building one business, it's really, 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 really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm focusing on Foral Phones business. I'm going to construct, alongside with my team, a very, very, very big company with very good results. And then, with that accomplished, we will have open doors to build a lot more. But step by step, having big dreams in our heads, but being able to see what's the priorities.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll switch it up a little bit, because you have an ambassador program, right? When did that launch, and what was the idea? How is that coming along? Let us know.
Yeah, so basically when I started the company, as I told before, I had zero likes. I had maybe 20 customers that I sold phones till that moment. And then I think, why can't I like talk to cool people, like cool high school people, like with a lot of friends on Facebook and posts and followers and that kind of stuff. And I can just give them photos of my products, description of the product, and ask them to post it online. And then if they have someone asking for the product, they just need to send that person to me. So in 3 months, I was basically only managing the ambassadors, the people that were selling, and answering calls. Like every day from 8 a.m. to midnight, I was selling phones on the phone. Yeah. So basically in 3 months, we sold 70,000 euros of products. I helped a lot of ambassadors. I gave them a lot of money in commissions. It was not hard work for them, because they could be sitting on the couch just posting it online. They were totally free to make
their own schedule to sell as much as they wanted.
Exactly. So I think that was a pretty smart way to grow our sales and to grow the awareness of the brand at that time. Because one thing that I realized was that one ambassador, maybe he would only sell like 2 phones in 1 month, but he would impact his friends, the friends of his friends, his cousins, everyone. So probably his cousin, he didn't want to buy a phone that month.
Yeah.
But I realized that 6 months later, the cousin of that ambassador would buy me a phone. And that's what we're creating right now. So so this year we launched the ambassador program, like in a big way, and I can say that right now it has been just amazing. The results are just incredible, because we had a lot of people wanting to join the program, and we were very selective. So we really wanted people that already knew something about the brand, that wanted to make money, of course, but that wanted to have an impact in this startup. So I can tell you that this month, and it's not public, but I will tell you that this month, our ambassadors sold 20,000 euros of products just in 1 month. So it was very, very good.
Yeah. Congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have those people, have some of your ambassadors actually joined the company later on, or do you not have anyone who did that?
I have one guy on my company that started as an ambassador, but then I saw the value that he could bring in the company, and he had free time. I asked him to join. So basically, that's also what we are turning real on the ambassador program. Like, you can be studying, You can be earning cash, getting expertise, knowing a lot of great people. And in the end, if you really do like Foral Phones and what we're building, and if you're good enough, you are most likely to join the team and to be alongside with us, creating a global e-commerce company that in 10 years will be known worldwide for its very big range of products and services and etc. And being a worldwide company, like with offices in Hong Kong, UK, United States of America, Dubai, Lisbon. That's what we are trying to do. We're trying to get the best people together, and we're going to do it step by step.
I love how confident you are, because you see the results, you obviously know. but what I actually wanted to know, what about regional markets, like countries? Have you thought about like main countries that you think are very crucial for the business in the future?
Yeah. I think I can't say all the countries, but I can tell you that since we have a very good ambassador program, we are trying to go to the countries that have the biggest number of Erasmus students, because that is a way for us to grow our brand in a city. Like, for example, we know that there are 5,000 Portuguese students doing Erasmus, let's say, in Paris. So we can grow our brand there if they go there as Foral Phones ambassadors. Yeah. So when I enter that market, it will be easier for me to sell products.
Yeah.
So that's what we are doing. And again, in 10 years, this ambassador program will let us sell anything, because if we have the trust of people, and I can tell you that most of my ambassadors use Foral Phones products, phones, accessories, repairs, so they also trust the brand. It's very easy for them to convince other people to buy, because they're just being honest about it, about buying those products, and they feel confident with it, because they know that we have a team behind them to give the best to the customer. So that is a strategy that I really do believe it's going to work.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that you're using micro influencers, because you could be using, you know, someone big YouTube influencer or anything, but I guess you don't feel that it's genuine, and you, because the brand yet again stands for phones for everyone, it would make sense to use real people and not famous people, right? That's probably the reason why you chose that.
100% true.
What about your steps in the future? Are you, what's next for you after finishing the bachelor's? Are you going to do a master's? Are you just going to focus on your company? Are you going to travel? What's the plan?
I have a plan for the next 5 years of all the things that I want to do. And I have selected 5 universities that I want to be part in some way, like taking a summer school, a course, an executive program, something. But I really want to experience other things and get to know other people. Like a small example, in Barcelona, I met really people, really talented people from across the globe, and it was so nice to get to know their strengths and to learn with them. And right now I do have like one French guy, one Spanish guy, one guy from the United States of America just sending me messages like, man, it's so cool, I saw your post of Foral Phones on the media, that's so cool, when are you going to bring this business to the United States? And the funny part is that most of these talented people, they went for a summer school at ESAD, which is the sixth best business school in Europe, because it's not for the CV. It's because they really want to be better. So they are naturally talented people. So there's always a dot that I can connect with these people. So I really do believe that, imagine one guy that I met in Spain, we will be doing business in 10 years, or he will let me know some friend of yeah. him that he's special in his own area or her own area. So that really motivates me. So basically, I want to grow my company, get to know a lot of talented people, and keep on learning and reading and going to other universities. And that's what motivates me.
Yeah, because you're building a global business, because it makes total sense that you want to meet people from all over the world.
Exactly.
And believe me, I see every day how everyone connects to each other. I've seen it when I met you. You knew a lot of people that I knew. I see it at Microsoft every day. Suddenly someone who is in internet Microsoft also knows someone. You know, just the other day I can't say names, but there was a video game reviewer that was in the offices at Microsoft, and they were doing the unboxing for the new Xbox One S and everything. And we were talking, and I mentioned him somebody else from my past who I used to play together, you know, playing co-op video games at the same time. And he said, oh yeah, I totally know him. I actually bought something from him in the past, you know. So everyone knows each other. And I think now more than ever, if you build a great reputation, that will follow you for years, you know. Because you know someone, I made an impact on you, and you will know someone, and you will tell them about me, or I will tell, you know, you're here at the podcast already.
Definitely.
You know? So I really think that, you know, there's a lot of talks about building a personal brand, you know, you have to have this on your LinkedIn, you have to have, but really building a personal brand is having an impact on people, a positive impact that they will remember forever, you know.
Definitely. And if you have that mindset of enjoying to hear what others have to say, and not thinking that you have the reason every time. Mm. So that power is just amazing. The power to say, yes, maybe you're right on that, let me think about it. I think that is really, really important, and that way you can connect the dots and get the best of each person that you met. And if you have that power, and if you're good with people, and if people trust what you're saying, and if you say something and then in 1, 3, 6 months that comes to be truth, and then you will achieve something great.
And I remember something that you said, and like, I don't know if it was the first time that we talked or after, but I remember that you said that you wanted to hire people that were better than you, people that would really have the skills that you don't. And you know, surprisingly, not a lot of founders and CEOs say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only the best ones can recognize that, okay, there's a flaw in me, or there's a skill that I don't have. I really need to get the best people to help me be my right arm, left arm, leg, everything, right? So I think
Definitely.
I think you really have that in your mind, and you're really trying to find the people that can help you in your business, and not just, you know, someone to let them know what to do. I need people to do this. You know, no, you want people to tell you where to go as well,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. I want people to tell me what to do sometimes, because with 21 years old, of course, I do not know a lot of things. It's actually funny, because today we were talking about leadership, and obviously I'm the CEO of the company, and in the end I have, you can say, more power related to decisions. But I was saying that I really do believe that leadership is not only for the CEO. I think that if someone knows more about me in marketing, then that person is the leader of things related to marketing. So I want to hear what he or she has to say about it. And so I think leadership needs to come with knowing something more than the other people in the room. So if you know more than the other people, and if you're surrounded with intelligent and ambitious people, then they will stop and they will hear you very carefully, and they will absorb everything that you have to say, and they will admire you and try also to give you something back. And that is the best power that we have, giving something and getting something back.
Yeah, and because you have so many talented people, I think you really need to give them the chance to be a star and to really lead something, because otherwise, if you don't let them chase their own dreams inside the company as well, like you were saying, you're not only going to support your dream of building for all phones, but maybe in the future there will be like multiple companies built within for all phones, sure, little businesses and everything that come from people within for all phones. So
sure,
I think you really need to keep that in mind as well, because you know there are so many great companies out there, and if you're building great talent, you really need to give them the chance to do what they want.
Definitely. My big dream is again reuniting the best people, because if I get lucky and I'm able to accomplish that dream, I know that everything else will follow because of how talented they are and how committed they are to the project, and how committed they are to what we are growing. And the most important thing that the people that are working with me always see the company going bigger and bigger every day and learning with our mistakes, but every week we see that we went further. So if they see that week on week, they will believe me that in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, we will be very, very big. So then they will keep on working hard, and I'm no longer building my dream. We're building all our dreams together, step by step.
Okay, and that is how we end today. José, we're already almost 50 minutes, and you know, time passes by always. Every time I'm here with someone, it's always so interesting. It's not only, you know, saying something and I'm asking random questions. I'm learning along as people are learning as well while listening to this. So the last thing that I want to ask you is, where can people follow you? Where can people follow your company? Tell us where to go.
So my company is located on Rua Afonso Lopes Vieira 52B. So it's in a very good location between Campo Grande and Alvalade. It's actually funny because we have like a big garden. I don't know how I can say that. Mm-hmm. And we have like a big gym. And on the opposite side, we have McDonald's and the library. So it's good for everyone. For the
all the perks for business. You have to do the partnerships with them, you know.
I'm doing a partnership with the gym. So basically, I want that the team, they all go to the gym.
So why not get a discount for it?
Like yeah, sure. We yeah. will have a discount, and also they will promote for all phones, because it's something more that they can offer to their customers, like 5% discount on mm-hmm. for all phones.
Yeah.
And we can have our team with lower prices. So yeah, but basically that's where the company is located. You can reach me on my Facebook, José Costa Rodrigues, or my LinkedIn, also José Costa Rodrigues. And it will be my pleasure to connect with you and to understand with you guys. And congratulations, because this is amazing to do, Anna.
Thank you also. Okay, so Goodbye, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed today's interview. And remember, if you have any questions, let us know because I can get them to José later on and he can answer them and we can get them back here on the show. So José, thank you so much and goodbye.
Thank you. My pleasure.